What a pleasure it is to welcome back into the Frank Beckman Show our one of our favorite economists, David Littman from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. He is with us quite often on the program, and boy, a good time to be talking with him again. All that's going on out of Washington, a new Congress being seated today, President Obama promising an economic stimulus plan with tax cuts for middle-class Americans, and David Littman, finally off the speaking trail long enough, he's able to speak with us. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, Frank. Thank you.
You've been all over the country speaking, huh?
Well, it's on the calendar. Yep.
You might as well have stayed at work. This is some retirement you've got going.
Yeah, there is. There's that, and I hardly have time for my talking on handwriting analysis, which is my hobby now.
What do you mean?
Well, essentially, of course, people want to know about the local economy, about the Michigan economy, about the world economy, much less the national.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got to cover it all. Now, let's focus on the national economy first and what President Obama is proposing to do with this stimulus package that will amount to about, we're told, $800 billion, including a tax cut for middle Americans, a big check for states that have had trouble making budget, like here in Michigan. Overall, is this going to stimulate the economy in our country and bring us out of recession? Can government do that?
No, it can't, Frank, and this is just a Christmas tree early in terms of 2009. Temporary quick fixes, which is what this is, more deficit spending by government and inflation financing of that by the Federal Reserve, these are very dangerous and misguided policies. They're misguided on two counts at a minimum. First of all, unless tax cuts are made permanent, then consumers and households, they'll not make the durable spending decisions. They'll save more, or they just won't significantly alter their behavior, which is one of turtle shell. They're crawling back in their turtles with the layoffs that will be going up all year. And secondly, unless these programs the President-elect Obama has enunciated, unless they cut taxes across the board, the most powerful agent of growth, that is the business investment spending and lending by banks, it'll remain pretty much dead on arrivals. You can count on it.
But he and his supporters have said, look, this tax cut is going to include businesses, too. We're going to incent them to hire people, to keep people on the job by offering tax breaks for those businesses that will increase employment.
Well, the problem is, yeah, the right hand giveth and the left hand taketh away. The left hand, of course, are the regulations, the confiscation of whatever profits or whatever tax cuts are made. Now the way to do it, and this is a bipartisan statement, is the way Kennedy did it, the way Reagan did it, the way Bush did it, that is the current Bush, by tax cuts that were across the board, everyone, and small and large businesses as well. Also, you have to notice that what Obama is not talking about, he's not talking about corporate income tax cuts that would bring us into alignment with the other nations of the world. Secondly, he's not talking about cuts of an absolute level of federal spending, non-defense outlays, nothing there whatsoever. And thirdly, he's not talking about cutting the regulations that impede our output of nuclear, of oil, of coal, any energy, which is key to our competitiveness around the world.
No, in fact, he's talked about skinning back the support that he voiced during the campaign for offshore drilling.
Exactly. I mean, how do you get better? How do you get better as a nation? That's how we got good. We're good at technology. We're good at drilling. We're oiling research, any research. We've got the facilities. We've got the critical mass of people, human capital, and financial capital to do these things. He's just handcuffing us. He wants us to look like Britain did. And I can remember, because I was a student at the London School watching this, he wants us to become like Britain was in the late 70s, a really, really poor country. So essentially, Frank, what I'm saying is these pronouncements, these temporary quick fixes, are similar to a drug, an injection, whether it's steroid or regular cocaine. It's an injection to be pumped up on, but it doesn't work. It really doesn't make the economy or the general U.S. Wealthier. are more prosperous.
David, you're the expert on this, but one thing that really strikes me about the plan that's as it's been presented so far is that the top 5% of wage earners, those over 200,000, who pay about 60% of the taxes, are not going to see a cut in this. In fact, if the Bush tax cuts are repealed or margins are raised higher, they're going to pay a tax increase through all of this. And I get the feeling that politicians feel they can afford to do that because these people are, after all, only 5% of the population, and therefore they're not a powerful voting bloc.
Yeah, but it's 100% of the venture capital and all the things that have made Bill Gates or our computer industry possible in this country, including the medical research that saves lives. This is the group of people that save and invest in the private sector rather than just redistribute and spend and make government and its bureaucrats bigger, fatter, wealthier, and retirees six times as well off as those who are losing their pension benefits in the private sector.
Are we beginning to see a landmark change in the American system?
No, we are seeing it at an accelerated pace where the government gets bigger and the private sector tax base gets smaller. Until the American people fully realize what they're into, something that's far more institutionalized than Soviet communism, this will continue to go on. It is the most dangerous thing I've seen in my lifetime or in all my reading in economics and political science.
But once it's in place, how do you undo it?
You can't. It would take a revolution or a secession of states and people who want something different.
That's frightening to me.
Well, but that's what's coming.
What do you see on an international scale? Are other countries in Europe facing similar recessionary pressures doing similar things? Are they using government stimulus package to try to get themselves out?
Well, the interesting thing, yes, right now they are, but more permanently looking at it, they have lowered permanently taxes on, of all things, corporations from the 50% range to 26% as an average corporate income tax across the EU. And places like Ireland, which have seen the most spectacular growth, have lowered their corporate income tax to 12%. So here we are sitting at something on the order of 39% and pretending that we're mad at other countries because they're getting rich off of our exported manufacturing industry. How about four of those fingers looking at ourselves and doing something about it? Mm. And that's a bipartisan statement, as I said. Kennedy recognized it. Reagan recognized it. Bush has recognized it. What's with Obama and the Congress they're now seating?
Well, it's all about power, too, isn't it, when you get into
that's all it is. And it is, unfortunately, a we, meaning the private sector, the productive, innovative, creative private sector against them, which is the aggrandizing, self-anointed masters, which are the bureaucrats and the elected officials.
Yeah, but they're fully in charge now, and I don't know how they're going to be stopped.
Well, that's right, and they're all in line now. They've made it now that the system says, get in line for your handout, get in line for your bailout. Just petition Washington. Use the political system. Don't use the competitive economy that got this nation to be a premier entity and a hope for the world.
How long does it take before people realize what has happened? How long until this sort of attitude takes hold and government is telling the automakers what cars they shall be building and food producers how much of foodstuffs should be on the shelves?
Whoever has the money controls the purse string also controls those decisions. And that's what the Detroit automakers essentially have given to Washington right now. Tell us what kind of green car, not just a green car versus a regular car, what kind of green car do you want us to build? Electric, run on fossil fuels, or not on fossil fuels, but on corn or something to that effect. Don't do any more really research on our building of your nuclear energy facility. Essentially, they're dictating everything. Power trip galore. And when will it end? Yeah. When you don't see after two or three years there's any real response, the economy isn't getting better. The stock market gets a little better because it's pumped up on steroids like a drug addict, but it falls even harder in 2010 or 2011.
Can things get worse, David?
Well, things can get much worse. I mean, we still have a functional economy. It's not the way we want it, But this generation of Americans has not seen. If you want to see what's going to happen, all you need to do is see the microcosm Michigan. Here you've had a governor and a legislature just continue to finance in a deficit form, hoping to borrow more from somewhere, raising taxes again, chasing more capital, financial capital and human capital out of the state. And this is what will happen to the United States at large, because the laws of economics are ubiquitous. They're as solid as the law of gravity. And when the pursuit of policies is the same at the national level as it has been at the Michigan level, you'll see the same results.
Did the last stimulus package have any impact on the economy in your eyes? Did it save? I suppose the argument's going to be made, look, it would have been worse already had we not pumped that $300 billion into the economy with those checks.
Of course, that's not true, because at that point, your housing prices quickly would have found a bottom, and those who had the investment capital, as we know, for those who are picking up place things like IndyBank, those things would have been purchased at a bargain base, and the economy would have taken off at a far higher level than it is today. So the answer is clearly those government interventions further accelerated the downturn to where we are now. The prices have fallen further on homes. The bailout line is continuing to go around the block and will in the next 5-6 months.
Speaking of IndyBank, did you hear who's involved in buying that bank now, that bank on which the run was made, starting with Chuck Schumer's letter warning that they were going out of business? Do you see who's involved in buying them?
Yes, there are three parties.
George Soros.
Soros, a big Democrat supporter, 100% Democrat supporter. You know, the only thing that we may as well, if we're not going to send Bernie Madoff to jail, why not make him head of the Social Security system? He knows what Ponzi schemes are. We're facing, in this nation, Frank, something on the order of $102 trillion worth of unfunded liabilities over the next 75 years. It's something that breaks us.
We're broke right now, aren't we?
Well, we're totally broke, and the accounting gurus won't show it, because government doesn't have a balance sheet like the rest of us. Government only has a tax and spend, income and expense statement, and without a balance sheet, you cannot get a correct reading, a legal, proper accounting reading, and this is what sent many of the firms and its leaders into bankruptcy or jail. Why not the government?
Keep talking, David, and keep getting the message out there. We need voices like yours to sound the alarms and to inform Americans of what's happening right under their noses.
We at the Mackinac Center are trying. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. David Litman, the chief economist at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, mackinac.org, the website.